apparently, Dennis must have liked what he heard because he didn't leave me in a ditch somewhere. So, but we're going to be looking at, we're going to be starting in John chapter 4. And the thought I have for you tonight is to serve in truth. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But to start the thought here, we see a couple things. There are two things that you need to worship God. First of all, you need the Spirit of God. That it can only come by his giving of that Spirit. He gives you that spiritual capacity to worship him. And also we see truth. We worship God according to truth. We worship God according to his truth, the truth that he has revealed in his word. But there's a couple, what we want to really notice about this is we must worship him in spirit and in truth. God does not accept any old worship. God does not accept a God made up in, a doctrine or a theology made up in your mind. He does not accept that worship. Just because you use his name does not mean it's an acceptable worship. It's a must. It's not optional. It's not a maybe. This is an absolute. We must worship in spirit and in truth. So we must be given that capacity to worship him before we ever can. A lost person cannot worship God. They don't have the capacity to worship God. And then when we have that spiritual capacity, there's only one way to worship God, and that's in truth, according to his word. So where do we find truth? John chapter 17. Where do we find truth? What is truth? Where are the absolute truths? Where can we find it contained? John chapter 17, verse 17. Jesus is praying here, and he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." This is where we will find the truth according to God's word. It is contained in the Bible. The truth according to God has been, the truth that God wants us to understand, that has been revealed in his word. You see, so we have that truth today. We have that access to that truth. Do we still have access to that truth, that same truth that has been made reference to here? Can we still access that same truth today? Psalm chapter 12. Verses 6 and 7. "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." The truth of God's word is contained in, or the truth is contained in God's word. And to be more specific, the truth is contained in God's word in the King James Bible. And how I can tell you that is this very verse right here, these two verses right here. If you go looking at these other false translations, these perverted translations, you will find that these two verses do not speak of God preserving his word. They do not speak of a promise for God to preserve a word. If you were to look in this fault in the other translations, it will say it is a promise to preserve a generation of people. It has nothing to do with his word. So the true word of God, the King James Bible, the good old King James Bible, that is where we find that promise to preserve his word. You won't find it in these other versions. Psalm 119. Verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." God has revealed and given us the truth of his word. He has given us the truth that we might be able to worship him. And we see here that this is a settled word. I mean, you see out in the world today, people worshiping God in any old way. And they've perverted the scripture, and they've come up with their programs and their themes and their different things to try to bring people in, and they're not worshiping God according to the truth of his word. They are picking and choosing, they're cutting parts out, They are not worshiping God according to truth. And therefore, if God has given you that spirit of truth that causes you to love truth, if you look in verse 104 of that same chapter, it says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The more of God's truth He reveals to you, the more that you'll reject every false way. The more that the Lord has given you according to His word, that according to truth, it will cause you to reject every false way. It'll cause you to hate every false way. Now, understand from a Christian standpoint, we don't hate the people. You know, I don't hate someone who's not in the church of the Lord, but I hate what they're taught. I hate the garbage they're fed. I hate the confusion it brings about. I hate that the truth of God's word is so simple, and yet so many people have filled them with so much different garbage that they don't know which way to go because they have not been worshiping God according to truth. They have not been taught truth. They've not been just given the plain old Bible. Instead of, you know, man wants to add and subtract, and all it does is cause confusion. I hate false ways because of what it does to God's people, because of what it does and how it causes nothing but confusion when you start messing with the Word of God. And it's an unsettled word, and if the Lord has opened your eyes to it, you will love His Word, you'll love His truth, and it'll cause you to reject, and it'll cause you to just want nothing to do with those false ways. But all that being said, why is it God allows all these false ways? Why is it God allows false worship? Why is it God allows these false gods? Why is it that God has put up with this false worship, these false gospels, this false salvation of decisions and prayers? Why is it that is allowed? Why does that go on today? Leviticus chapter 10. We're going to illustrate something here, but to start, we'll be in Leviticus chapter 10 to kind of bring out why this stuff is allowed. Leviticus 10, verses 1 and 2. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. We see God dealing with His people in a very severe way, in a very immediate way. We see that there is no tolerance for error here. This was fire was a strange... I've heard people, commentaries, try to say that, oh, maybe they had been drinking. No. It's strange fire. The fire itself was not prepared in a way that God had said, do it this way. You know, you go through that Old Testament and the tabernacle and everything. It was so precise. There was an exact way for everything that was done. In every capacity of worship of God, the worship of God was completely given. There was no room for interpretation. It was, here's how you worship me in truth. Here's how you do it. And this is how I want you to do it. Well, I'm sure that whatever they were burning was not what God had prescribed to burn. He did not say burn this incense, to burn this fire. This was strange fire. This was unknown to God. This was not something He recognized as the worship that He had established, see? And He's dealing with His people in a very severe way here. He's dealing with the people of Israel here. He's dealing with a couple of Jews here. And He's dealing with them very harshly. They have a very large responsibility to worship God according to the way that He has established, that He has put forth, and that this is how you approach unto me. This is how you worship me. This is how, down to what they were burning, down to the very mixture of the incense that they burned. So then if we turn to 1 Samuel, chapter 6. Verse 7 through 15. Now therefore make a new cart, and take two milch kine, on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart, and bring their calves home from them. and take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold which ye return him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go. And see if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. And the men did so, and took the two milch kine, and tied them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart, and the coffer with the mice of gold, and the images of their emirates. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh, and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua of Beth Shemite, and stood there. And there was a great stone, and they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kine a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on the great stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day unto the Lord. But notice here, and we understand that God had already put forth a way how you transport this ark. You transport it on poles. But yet we see here that these Philistines, were bringing the ark back on a cart. And yet we find that God did not deal with them in the same way that he dealt with Nadab and Abihu. He did not deal with them harshly. He did not deal with them in the same way. I mean, seemingly to no consequence. They transported that ark in a way that God said, don't transport it that way. Transport it on poles. Now, if we were to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 13... Verse 7 through 10. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Shidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. Here we see the people of God said, hey, a cart, how much easier is that? How much easier to do it that way than to drag this thing around on poles? Man, that looks like a great idea. Let's make a cart. Let's put it on a cart just like those guys did, and let's do it that way. But see, God had not instructed the people of Israel to transport this cart that way, or to transport the ark that way, and they were responsible. Now, understand. So we can use this as a comparison to today. You know, I mean, it can be very confusing when you see these false ways and these false churches and these false salvations, this false worship, and how is it that God tolerates this? Why does he tolerate? Why does he put up with it? Well, I believe it's because they're not his. Now, I'm not saying there aren't saved people in their groups, in their congregation. But what I am saying, that's not his church. That's not his church. They're not dealt with the same way, because they are not held to the same level of responsibility as God's people. And especially when we're talking about God's church, you know, to him that's been given much, much is expected. Much is expected of us who have been given more. And so we are responsible to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're not, you know, just because we look over there and say, man, them guys are doing some program and they're bringing people in. Maybe we should try that. No. Look how God deals with his people. Look how God deals with his people, see? And this is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the church Jesus started. And if we believe that, then we should know we hold the truth. And we hold the truth and nothing else. See, and just because we look over there and say, man, look at all those people they're bringing in. Look at all those people they're bringing in, because look at the way they're doing it. Look at that new cart, and look how they're transporting the ark. Hey, let's try it that way. And yet God dealt with his people in a very severe way. Uzzah died because he put his hand to the ark, because you're not supposed to touch the ark. And do you think it was an accident that the oxen stumbled in that cart and the ark was about to fall off? No. No, because God said, hey, I told you guys how to transport this thing on poles. And Uzzah put forth his hand, and he died. See, but we as the people of God, and especially as the church of God, as the one that Jesus Christ started, and he started it and established it, and it's been sent with that authority, it's been passed down from church to church through succession, we have a responsibility to hold to the Bible, to hold the truth. I don't care what the rest of the world's doing. I don't care if that looks like it's working great over there. If it's not in the Bible, we don't do it. We don't do it because it's not truth. And we are held to a different standard as the part of the church that Jesus started. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 19. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. But if we believe we are a part of a church that has that chain link succession back to the time of Jesus, then we have been sent in this power. And this all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And because of that power, go ye therefore. See, if we claim to have, by chain link succession, we claim to have been sent by this authority, then we have much more responsibility to hold to this truth. Being one of the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are much more responsible to hold to that truth. We are held to a different standard. We are to worship God in truth, in truth. I mean, we can't just do it any old way. We do it according to the Bible, according to truth. Now, just to make the distinction, Mark chapter 5. Now, I believe this is the responsibility of every saved person, and it will be the desire, if they're truly saved, I do believe this will be the desire of their heart. You know, see, so we see that sending authority to the churches, but we also see here a responsibility to every saved one. Mark chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Excuse me. Let's back up. Well, I'm going to back up and just start in the beginning of chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And we besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And he besought him much that he would not send them out away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. But here I believe we see the responsibility of every saved person. And like I say, if you've truly been saved by grace, it's not only a responsibility, I believe it'll be the desire of your heart. Look here in verse 19. Jesus tells them, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." That is the desire of every saved man's heart, saved man or woman's heart. You want to tell people what the Lord has done for you. And I believe this here we see the responsibility of every saved person. Not necessarily. See, notice, Jesus is with his disciples. Jesus is with the apostles here. Jesus is with his disciples. And he would not suffer this man to enter in. He would not bring him into that place in his church. He wasn't going to set him in amongst the beginnings of his church, amongst those apostles, amongst his disciples. He was not brought in. He was not added to the church. But yet he was saved. And he says, go home and tell your friends what the Lord's done for you. Go home and witness. Go home and be a witness for me. Go tell them what the Lord has done for you. I believe that is the responsibility of every saved person. And not only that, it will be the desire of their heart. Oh, man, you ought to tell someone. You want to tell someone when the Lord's really, truly saved you. You can't keep it in. There's times you just can't shut your mouth. And that is going to be the desire of your heart. But I believe also we see a responsibility. Go home and tell your friends. Go home and tell those that you know what the Lord's done for you. Be a witness for Jesus. I mean, that I believe we see is a responsibility of all the saved. And then to close, 1 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 19 through 25. And all the people said unto Samuel, "Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." And Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, but it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king." But we see their responsibility there. We see the people of God, once again, those that are his, we see that responsibility in verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth. In truth. That is a responsibility, and especially to those that have been given that double portion of grace, especially to those that are of the Lord's church. It is our responsibility to serve him in truth, to not veer aside and go out of the way and take in programs and different ways of the world. Oh, that looks like that works great. Let's try it that way. No. No, we serve the Lord according to truth, according to his word. We let him do the drawing and the adding. We don't need programs. We don't need all that extra biblical stuff outside of the Bible stuff. We just serve him according to truth. But we'll stop there.